You know that in the way Mark tells the story, the whole gospel story of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that only one person in the whole of that gospel telling, one human, we're not talking about the spirits and the devils and all of those other critters, one human being recognized Jesus for who he was. Do you know who it was? He had to speak in the past tense because he had just watched Jesus die. The single person in Mark's telling of the story who recognized Jesus for who he was the Gentile centurion in the Roman army. I've always been partial to Mark's telling of the whole gospel story. Luke and Matthew and even John all had Mark's telling to go to school on before they did theirs. Mark, probably 30 years after the events themselves, had only the experience of a particular community and how the faith developed in that community to rely on. And it was specifically to that crowd that he was writing. There's no clear understanding who they were or where they were or even when. Some say Ephesus, some say Rome, some say God knows where. Mark tells the story very sparely, as you will recall from those Mark Gospels we've already heard, and many more to come between now and Advent Sunday. You know, Matthew and Luke both name Simon of Cyrene. John doesn't. He says Jesus carried his own cross for his theological reasons. That made great sense to him. But only Mark names the sons. I was going to start by asking, who were Alexander and Rufus? They were Simon, that man from Cyrene, a town in what is now Libya, on the far side of Egypt from the Holy Land. He did not get up this morning and bring his family to town. They had come a long way to be there. Perhaps they were Jews and had come for the Passover. Cyrene had a strong Jewish settlement. But they were there. And the sons get named. I'm going to come back to that in a bit. But I wanted to remind you, it was just last Sunday when some asked to see Jesus, and Andrew and Philip came to Jesus to tell him Jesus did something else. He talked about the seed that had to fall into the ground and die, because only if it did that could new growth sprout and flourish. Somewhere else he talks about 30, 60, and 100-fold. But it has to fall on the ground and die. But Mark is clear about Jesus, who we can understand as the seed falling into the ground and dying. But Mark is also quite good at just little bits telling us that's not the end of the story. Remember, this is early in the telling of all this. There wasn't a whole lot about the stuff around it. What was the last line in the passage that we just read? Mary Magdalene and Mary, mother of Joses, saw where the body was placed. And others' tellings tell us why. They didn't sleep much that night. They got there to see what was going on first thing in the morning. And you know how that story comes up. But Mark doesn't tell us that. But he hints at the fact, through those women, that there's more to come. And I think he hints at it as well in the naming of Simon's sons, Alexander and Rufus. Just maybe if they'd come all the way from Cyrene to be there for the festival and saw what happened, they decided to hang around and see what might happen next. And so eventually would have heard about the fact that the one who had been killed on the cross and buried in the tomb had risen from the dead. And his disciples had taken new life in that fact. And by the time Pentecost, 50 days later, rolled around, they were on the housetops proclaiming the good news of salvation in the risen Jesus Christ. A lot of people got baptized that day. And I like to think that maybe Alexander and Rufus were among that crowd who went for baptism and had already found themselves perhaps in a small group who were trying to hold on to the truth that they had thought that they had learned through Jesus. And now we're seeing that that truth was in fact being realized, and they were part of this new and incredible thing. And maybe that's how God has it grow. Maybe the Alexanders and Rufuses and Marys and whatnot are in the congregation today, or in some other place today hearing the good news that God refused to let Jesus stay dead, that he rises for the salvation of the entire world. One of my commentators wrote, Alexander and Rufus. Mark must have expected his audience to know these two men, otherwise unmentioned anywhere. Someone wanders at random into the story and leaves this posterity, their names in Scripture, famous enough in the little world of Mark's church to need no explanation to them, and wonderment for us. There's already a new intimacy in that community beyond the edge of the text, a community that has begun to see itself plainly. So it happens that that worst moment in the life of a young messianic movement following Jesus contain the seeds of a remarkable continuation and still greater manifestation to come. And that's the world in which we live now. Someone else commenting on Mark's telling said it wasn't much of a deal. There wasn't a very big crowd that was along the way going into Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday. And he sure didn't do anything exciting when he got into the temple. He looked around. This was late. He left. That's Mark's telling. But the seeds were planted, and they begin to sprout and to bear fruit. And that continues cyclically to the present, so that we are those who are sprouting or maybe full grown from the ground and ready to pass it on, needing to pass it on. Because the survival and flourishing of the movement depends upon us. Walk as you can the Holy Week way. St. Andrew's provides a very full panoply of opportunities to worship, to meditate, to pray, to confess, to be absolved, and to be ready again to meet the risen Lord. Do your best to take advantage. And do so in the name of the risen Christ. Amen.